The Apostle John writes in his third epistle, that is, 3 John, I have no greater joy than this, to hear of my children walking in the truth. Walking in the truth is the phrase we wanted to take a look at this morning. Authentic Christianity. I mean, the real thing. That has been our emphasis this year in our preaching. Authentic Christianity. And we just completed a series of lessons designed to help us to appreciate more the authentic nature that Christ has and was revealed in his earthly ministry. We focused on the Gospel of Luke to see that. And we also, previous to that, looked at the authenticity of the cross for a number of weeks. Now we want to shift gears for a moment and take a look at this phrase for a minute. Walking in the truth. Walking in the truth. That is authentic Christian living. The truth, we'll have to admit, has fallen on hard times, or should we say, on poor soil or hearts in our world today. Hearts have been hardened by the deceitfulness of sin, Hebrews 3, verse 13. Hearts have been blinded by the God of this world, 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4. And so make no mistake about it, we live in a world darkened by sin. And as Christians, we enter into a struggle against world forces of darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness, Ephesians 6, verse 12. That's why we put on the gospel armor. Satan works to deceive us, to try to lead our minds astray from the simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ, 2 Corinthians 11, verse number 3. And the Bible tells us that Satan is the ruler of this world, John 12, verse 31. And John says that the whole world lies in his domain, 1 John 5, verse 19. Jesus himself acknowledged that the power of darkness belonged to Satan there in John 3, verse, or Luke 22, verse 53. And Jesus, in the third chapter of John, explains why people rejected the light that was brought into the world. He said it's because the men loved the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. But into that world of darkness came the light we know as Jesus Christ, who, according to Colossians 1, verse 13, rescues us from the domain of darkness and transfers us into the kingdom of God's beloved Son. And those who seek to practice the light want to come to the light, that their deeds might be manifested as having been wrought in God. John 3, 21. So authentic Christianity welcomes the light of God. Authentic Christianity is walking in the truth. It's living a life of simplicity and purity of devotion toward God. Now, having laid that foundation, now I want to ask a few questions just to get us thinking along this line. The first question is, what is truth? If we're going to walk in the truth, we need to know what the truth is. Essentially, the truth is whatever agrees with reality, ultimate reality. That's the truth. Colleen tells me that in the 60s and 70s, from 1962, 1981, Walter Cronkite was the man. If you remember him, don't raise your hand, you'll date yourself. But he was the anchor of the CBS Evening News, and he was regarded as the most trusted man in America. How does that compare to today? And every broadcast he ended with these simple words, and that's the way it is. and then he would give the date. In other words, he was speaking the truth. And if we want to know what the truth is, then that's the way it is. 2 + 2 = 4, and that's the way it is. Why? Because that's the truth. It conforms with what is real. Often, authentic Christianity cannot exist without the truth, an understanding, and a conformity with things the way they really are, the way it really is. Relativism is the philosophy that's been accepted and adopted in the world around us. That's the philosophy that says all truth is relative. And it's relative to the individual, to the time or place in which he or she acts. So what that means is that truth is always changing, always evolving. And what that philosophy says is that what is true to you may not be true to me. What is true today may not be true tomorrow. And so in that philosophy, there's no authenticity because there's no that's the way it is. No absolutes upon which we can build our faith. And a life that is built on that philosophy is a life that cannot be authentic, because how could it be authentic if there is no reliable truth? And so you base it on your feelings. I feel this way, but tomorrow you may feel differently. So the truth has changed. Remember what the writer of Proverbs says when he said, there's a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is the way of death. God's word is truth. Jesus prayed that statement in John 17, verse 17. Your word is truth. In other words, God's word is the way it is. God's word gives us the guidance we need to live an authentic Christian life. Think about it for a moment. It's God's word that brings us forth. We're brought forth by the word of truth, James 1, verse 18. We're purified in obedience to the truth, 1 Peter 1, verse 22. Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free, John 8, 32. And Paul said to Timothy in 1 Timothy 2, verse 4, God desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. The truth, the truth, the truth, the way it is in God's word. There's more to authentic Christian living than merely professing that you are a child of God or that you are a Christian. Your life must conform to the truth. You must line yourself up with the truth of God's word. For not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, when of the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven, Matthew 7, 21. But when it comes to truth, we'll have to admit that many just prefer darkness. They don't want the truth. Some suppress the truth in unrighteousness, Romans chapter 1, verse 18. Others exchange the truth of God for a lie, Romans 1, verse 25. Some will not be saved because Paul said in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 10 and 12, that they do not have a love for the truth, nor will they believe the truth. Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy 6, verse 5, that some are deprived of the truth. In 2 Timothy 2, 18, he says some have gone away astray from the truth. And in 1 John, where he talks about not saying that you're without sin, because if you say that you have no sin, you're lying, and you do not practice the truth. So God's word is truth. And if we want to find out about things spiritual, about our morality, about the church, about anything that pertains to living a Christian life, the word of God is the truth. It is the way that it is. Period. A second question, though. How does the truth come to man? How do we get the truth? Many answers have been given to that question. But what does the Bible say? Truth begins with God. He is the ultimate reality of the universe. He transcends the universe. He was there in the beginning, already in existence, before He created the heavens and the earth, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. The psalmist said, from everlasting to everlasting, You are God, Psalm 90, verse 1. In other words, God is eternal. He is self-existent. God has no beginning cause. He's always been. And that's the way it is. Simply put, He is the ultimate reality of the universe. When He sought to identify Himself to Moses and then to the people of Israel, He simply said, I am, Exodus 3, verse 14. He says, I am who I am, or I will be who I will be. He's saying that I am the ultimate reality of the universe. God is the essence of being. He's the beginning and the end. And for this reason, the Word, His Word, is truth. Whatever He says is the expression of His nature. It's impossible for God to lie, as Hebrews 6 tells us in verse 18. He said, "For the word that goes forth from my mouth will not return to me empty without accomplishing what I desire and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it." Isaiah 55, verse 11. God said, "Let there be light." Boom, there was light. Genesis chapter 1, verse 3. He spoke and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. Psalm 33 and verse 9. And we can rely on anything that God says because that's the way it is. David in 2 Samuel chapter 7 and verse 28 said, "Now, O Lord God, You are God and Your words are truth." The psalmist said, "The psalm of Your words is truth." Psalm 119, verse 160. So this, very important, truth begins with God. And I might add a phrase to that, not with man. We do not determine what truth is. We are not eternal. We are not omniscient. God is. Truth begins with God. And then secondly, truth is passed down to Jesus Christ, His Son. Fully divine, a member of the Godhead Himself. For in the beginning was the Word. Remember this in John 1, verse 1. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, which means that He is transcendent beyond this material universe. The text goes on to say, all things came into being through Him. Apart from Him, nothing has come into being that has come into being. And then in verse 14, He's further identified. It says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among men. And we saw His glory, glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. This is Jesus. And of course, in verse 17, grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ, gives that a name. And so you have the truth of God, and then you have Jesus also transcended. He transcends the universe. He is called, actually, the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end, in Revelation 22, verse 13. In Him, that is in Christ, all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form, Colossians 2 and verse number 9. And so when God said, I am, that's what Jesus also said about Himself in the Gospel of John, seven times, I am, is mentioned in that inspired Gospel. And so even though Jesus subjected Himself for a time to the will of the Father while He was in His earthly ministry, after His resurrection, Jesus said, all authority has been given to Me in heaven and upon the earth. Now, the key point to get from that found in Hebrews chapter 1 is that God speaks to us through Jesus, His Son. God, after He spoke long ago to the fathers and the prophets in many portions and in many ways, has in these last days spoken to us in His Son, in Jesus Christ. Hebrews 1, 1 and 2. The words of Christ are the truth, the ultimate reality, because they're given to us by Christ and they originated from the Father Himself. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no man can come to the Father except by me. John 14, verse 6. And then in John chapter 12, speaking of the truth, the way it is, Jesus said, he who rejects me and does not receive my sayings, my word, has one who judges him. The word that I spoke is what will judge him on the last day. Don't stop there. Keep on in verse 49, as he says, for I did not speak on my own initiative, but he said, the Father himself who sent me has given me a commandment as to what to say and what to speak. I know that his commandment is eternal life. Therefore, the things I speak just as the Father has told me. The word of God is truth. God is the ultimate reality. Christ is the ultimate reality. And Jesus transmitted the words of truth to us through the Holy Spirit as he inspired the apostles to speak truth. We don't want to belabor the point too much, but just simply to say that the Holy Spirit likewise is a member of the Godhead. And he transcends the universe. On one occasion in the early church, Ananias was being rebuked for his dishonesty, and Peter said to Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit? And then he turned right around in verse 4 to say, you've not lied to men, you've lied to God. The Holy Spirit is God. He was there in the beginning with the Father and the Son. Genesis chapter 1 verse 2 says, the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. So we realize that the Spirit is self-existent too. Nobody made the Spirit. Nobody made Jesus. They're all part of the Godhead which existed from all eternity. And that's the way it is. But Jesus made significant promises to the apostles that he would fulfill through the Holy Spirit. When Jesus told them that he was about to depart, that he was going to die, that he was going to be with them no longer, the disciples were discouraged to some extent. They were afraid and they were disheartened, but Jesus promised to send the Holy Spirit. He said, I will ask the Father and he will give you another helper, that is another comforter, that he may be with you forever. And that is, notice, the Spirit of truth. Notice, even in the description of the Holy Spirit, there is truth. That's in verse 16 of John 14. If you go down to verse 26, he says, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. And again in John chapter 16, beginning in verse 13, notice, but when he, not it, but he, when he, the Spirit of truth comes, that's the Helper, the Comforter that he'd already been talking about, when he comes, he will guide you into all what? Into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak. Christ will give him the message that is from the Father, and he will speak that to you. The promise of the Holy Spirit Christ gave to the apostles. It was fulfilled on the day of Pentecost. In Luke chapter 24, as Jesus was about to ascend into heaven, he promised that he would send them the promise from the Father. They were to stay in Jerusalem, and that he would make them his witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the remotest part of the earth. Acts 1, verse 8. And when the day of Pentecost came, while they were all together in one place, the apostles, that is, and there suddenly came from heaven a noise like a mighty rushing wind, and the house filled And it filled the house and where they were sitting, and it appeared to them as tongues as of fire distributing themselves on each one of them. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And look, they began to speak in languages, in tongues they had never studied, as the Spirit was giving them utterance, guiding them into all the truth, as we mentioned earlier. And in that first gospel sermon that Peter preached and the other apostles preached, it came to verse number 33, and Peter said, "Therefore, having been exalted to the right hand of God," that's Jesus, the resurrected Christ, "and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured forth this which ye both see and hear." All of those events on the day of Pentecost, that is the Holy Spirit being sent from the Father through the Son to the apostles on that occasion, guiding them into all the truth, the way it is. Now, it just so happens that those who received the gift of prophecy by the laying on of the apostles' hands in the first century also spoke from God. And Peter said that we today have the prophetic word made more sure, certain, established, to which we do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place. 2 Peter 1, verse 19. The prophetic word made more certain. You see, there it is. Truth. This is the way that it is. The word of God was not given by an act of human will. It didn't come from human beings. But in 2 Peter 1:21, he says, "But these men were moved by the Holy Spirit to speak from God." The same Spirit-inspired apostles provided for us a written record of the Spirit's instructions that we have today in the Bible, the New Testament of Jesus Christ. And the Bible says concerning this process that all Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for the training in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished, adequate, equipped for every good work. Peter spoke of the authority, or rather Paul spoke of the authority of his inspired writings, saying, "If anyone is a prophet or spiritual, let him recognize that the things that I am writing to you are the Lord's commandments." 1 Corinthians 14 at verse number 37. So we lay all that out just to say this, that God's word is truth. It is the ultimate reality expressed from the Father through Jesus and the Holy Spirit to the apostles and prophets, and we can count on it as being the way that it is, the way that things actually exist. And while today people might want to argue and say, "I think this and I think that," it doesn't stand on the same level as the Word of God itself. When we speak, Peter says, let us speak as it were the oracles of God. Walking in the truth, directing our steps in accordance with God's Word, that's how we practice authentic Christian living today. One final question is this. Why? Why walk in the truth? And we'll talk about this maybe later, but just very briefly, I want to draw a contrast between walking in the truth and walking in anything else. Walking in the truth and walking in anything else. Walking in the truth, the difference is between light and darkness. Between truth and deception. Between having assurance and being filled with doubt. Between possessing real knowledge and living in ignorance. Between enlightenment and blindness. Between security and instability. Between having that sense of belonging and feeling isolated. Between having a purpose in life and living aimlessly through life. Between having a sense of being valued and a sense of feeling worthless. Between living in His love and living in the world's hate. Between possessing joy and possessing sorrow. Between being authentic, the way it is, and being artificial. The Bible is God's revelation. It is the truth. If we want to be real, if we want to be authentic, we must walk in accordance with the truth. It's more than intellectual knowledge that sets us free. It's life knowledge. You shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And we have to obey the truth. We have to follow the truth. And the way to begin that is through a study of God's Word. You shall know the truth. Paul told Timothy to handle accurately. King James says, study the Word of truth to be a workman acceptable in God's sight. Walking in the truth. Authentic Christianity. If you want to become a Christian, just a Christian, authentically following God in His way, we invite you to respond this morning. If you want the prayers of the church, likewise, we're here to pray with you and to pray for you. If you'll come while we stand and while we sing.